tennis shoes. What does a chicken wear for tennis shoes? Reebok. Thought it was cute, but moving on. Love that last worship song. Man, you can just feel the presence of the Lord. But here's what we have to understand. We want to feel the presence of the Lord and do whatever the Lord is saying here, but you can feel the presence of the Lord wherever you're at. I mean, he lives in you. The kingdom is in you. And so if you only experience him here on Sunday, you're not getting him enough, because he wants you to, I mean, he's 24/7, so enjoy him your life. And so we're going to encourage you to do that. We are a word church. We live by the word of God. We walk in the kingdom. We've been doing a series called Walk It Out. This is week 6 on the road to winning. And so we've been doing that. We want to show you at least the best way that I can on how to walk in the kingdom and how to live. I believe we are supposed to have a good life here on earth. I don't believe we're supposed to just limp along and try to just exist until we all get to heaven. I think God wants you to live well here and be a good example here and have fun here and laugh here and certainly live within the means of the word. That's not why I'm not saying anything goes. I'm just saying live for God here and enjoy his wonderful life he has for you while you're here. And that's what I want to do. So let's just believe. Let's pray this morning, and we'll get started on this and walk this out. I think this is going to help you. I know it helps me. I preach to myself as much as I'm talking to you. But Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the opportunity again to share your word. I give you the praise and the glory. Help it to be clear to us today, God. Help us to see things that we couldn't see, maybe even if they were right in front of us and we've missed them. But today we see them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's welcome our online group today. Hallelujah. Good to have you with us. What you have in Christ is more important than what you don't have in the physical realm. What you have in Jesus is more important than what you don't have. What you don't have with your five senses, what you can see, taste, smell, hear, touch, all of that is more important what you have in Christ than what you have in the physical realm. The truth is this, we are already blessed. We are already highly favored. What we struggle with is seeing ourselves that way in the physical realm. Because when we talk about being blessed, all we think is monetarily and things. And those things are fine and great. You can have great things. God wants you to be blessed. He just doesn't want the things to have you. People sing, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be." That's a great song. And that will be a great day. That's good. It's good to sing. It's good to think, yeah, when we... But what about now? Because that's kind of pie in the sky. I mean, that is good. But I don't want to go to heaven just yet. God wants you to live life on purpose today, starting now. I'm just here to tell you, you can have steak on the plate while you wait. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." 8 and 10 of that same chapter of Ephesians, Ephesians 1, 8 and 10, "which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth." If I'd ask every one of us, what's that mean? We'd all be like, In God, it's good. We don't understand all the things. Sometimes when we read it, and God reveals things to us, we may not understand it. Someday maybe there's even songs about it, like we were just talking about. But someday we'll understand more as we yield ourselves to the Lord. We have our own mindset, and if we don't yield our mindset, because God's Spirit lives in you, there's going to be things you're just going to miss because you just won't yield. He wants to tell you, but we won't listen. How many have ever had children? You tell them, and they say the two words that one of my kids have said to me more times than Carter has liver pills, I know. But I'm thinking, if you know. But anyways, we have the mind of Christ. If we are a believer, we have the mind of Christ. We can access that. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. 1 John 2:20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One that you know all things. Your Bible might say unction. You can know all things. So see, what we don't understand or what we just don't like to know, because then we feel like we don't have to be accountable or responsible. But we can know answers if we really want to. We can ask the Holy Spirit that lives inside you. We have the mind of Christ. He can give you an unction. I don't know what to do. That's why it's so important to know and be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues, because you pray, the Bible says, perfectly, building and edifying. You were doing everything. You might not have the brain knowledge as far as physical, but by that connection, you can do that part and God does the rest. And he can download you answers that you will find. And you will all of a sudden be like, oh. I remember I lost my wallet one time. I'm like, I don't know where it is. God, I don't know where my wallet is. I didn't even know what I'm preaching to you today, but I knew enough to go, I don't know. Lord, I need your help. And I didn't even know how it applied, but I mean, just part of what I just prayed in the Spirit. And he showed me a picture. Listen to what I'm telling you. Showed me a picture. Did I tell you he showed me a picture of where the wallet was? I saw it. And I thought, what's my wallet doing there? Now, the part of me I'm telling you that is because when I saw the picture, I believed that's where it was. I'm just being honest. I went and looked. It was under the sink. I don't ever remember being under the sink. It was when I had an apartment. I don't remember being there. There it was, just like in the picture. How did I get that information? I would have never looked there. I looked everywhere else. Because I had an unction or an anointing or my connection. And God said, let's show him. And I'm like, okay, I'm good with that. And then when you know what that does to your faith when you see something and then it's where it is? And then you go, phew. People will say, that's not true. How many watched I Love Lucy when you were growing up? Black and white, I Love Lucy. Always Ricky and Lucy and Fred and Ethel. Loved that show, though. It was just fun to watch because Lucy was always doing stuff like my mom. But anyway, Fred came into the kitchen and he goes, this is what Ethel, she's telling Lucy, he's going to walk in here in about 10 seconds and say, I can't find my glasses. And she's going to say, they're on your head. And they're going to be on his head. And he's going to say, huh, if they'd have been a snake, they'd have bit me. So Fred, of course, is scripted, so you know. But he walks in and, hey, I can't find my glasses. They're on your head. Oh, if they'd have been a snake, they'd have bit me. How many times do we're like, I can't see that. But if it had been a snake, well, let's use another analogy than that. Eat the fruit. No, don't do that. Quit trying to confirm or verify what the Bible says about what you see. If the Bible says it, it settles it. If you don't see it, it's not the Bible's fault. The Bible is the Word of God, which is God. If your five senses are not there's a cloud in here, just so you know. If your five senses aren't lining up with what the Bible says, it is not the Bible that is not lining up. It is your senses. You have to get past who you are and think about whose you are. There's a new me. I'm just like what the Bible says. You see, the unction, now listen to what I'm saying to you. The unction from God doesn't come in my brain, it comes in my spirit. And that communicates from there. Does that make sense? People say, I don't know what God sounds like. He sounds like you. He will talk to you in your spirit, and you will talk to that spirit you have, will tell you what he said. Does that make sense to you? I mean, I'm not saying God doesn't have a distinct voice. I'm just saying many times we miss it because we're not looking. We don't even believe that he's going to communicate with us. I just want him to say something. What if he's already said it? You didn't hear it. You weren't listening. It's why praying in tongues is so important. When the service is over today, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and want to speak in tongues, totally cool thing. It is not a scary thing. I will help you with that. I can't tell you what to say, but I will lead you in a prayer, and you can be baptized today. 1 Corinthians 14:14, for I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. That's what's so cool. I don't even understand all the things I'm praying. And the cool thing is, the devil doesn't know what you're praying. He can't read it. He can't decipher it. Because if he knows what you're praying, then he can counterattack that. When you pray in the spirit, the Bible says you pray perfectly. There's not a lot of things we do perfectly. But that's one of them. If you don't know what to do, ask God. Get wisdom from him. Pray in tongues. He'll supernaturally reveal things to you. You know what that's like? That's like taking a bucket and throwing it over the well and pulling up the stuff you need, the answers you need. You've already got it. The enemy doesn't want you to use it. Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He goes on to say so much more in Ephesians 1:19 through 23. What is exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that is which to come, that he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is, you know what this is saying? Let me just condense. This is saying that you and I have the same power on the inside of us that raised Jesus from the dead. That's what that's saying. Average person who believes God can do those things, but they don't believe they can do them. They believe God can do them, but how do I get that? He's already given it to you. People will tell me, I don't have any power. You have all the power you need. But see, we approach God as beggars because we don't believe the word, because the word doesn't always line up with our five senses. People want me to pray for them, and they tell me what's going on, so their problems are big, and we all do that. Don't we tend to sometimes amplify the problem and not the promise or the answer? They seem to only see what they don't have or what they don't believe they have. There's things that Kim and I have had we didn't even know we had. We walked right by them. There's things in your spirit you don't think you have. You have it. But you keep walking by it. I'm not denying that your body can hurt. I get it. I'm not saying bad things never happen. I'm not saying that your emotions will always be right, because they're not. I'm not saying your emotions will always be steady, because they're not. I am saying in the spirit realm, your spirit, listen to what I'm saying, your spirit has never been defeated. You are body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit is perfect, connected with God. You are, if you want to divide it and make it three parts, you are one-third Holy Ghost. Your spirit is connected with God. What I'm telling you is this. Your spirit has never been sick. Your spirit has never been poor. 1 John 4:17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. It's not talking about your physical body there. It's not talking about your soul. Your spirit. 1 Corinthians 13:9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. You see, your brain, your physical brain doesn't know everything. But in your spirit, you are identical to Jesus in your spirit. You have the same power in your spirit Jesus, he had, raised him from the dead. You have that same power. You have the mind of Christ. You don't have to pray God down. You don't have to get him to do something. He's already done it. You need to renew your mind and start letting the power on the inside of you flow out. I'm talking to me as well. We weren't in this earth curse system in the world we were raised in. We're not raised that way. So this is a new mindset. I got to start letting go of me and getting a hold of him that's inside me. It's already there. And letting what he has put in there, taking authority and putting it to practice. Remember the scripture, he says, behold, look, I have given into your hand Sion. He'd already done it in the spiritual. They had the cross, but they hadn't won those battles yet. But as far as God was concerned, it's already done. It hadn't showed up in the natural yet. Some of you are facing things right now, and as far as God is concerned, if you understand what I'm telling you, it's already done. And you're going to walk it out. It happens, remember, in the spiritual first before the physical. The spiritual is the parent realm. It's more important than the physical realm. What you have in Jesus is more important than what you don't have in the physical realm. What you have in Jesus is more important than what you don't have in the physical realm. Because if what you need in the physical realm, you have to first get it in the spiritual realm. Come on. And it'll show up in the physical realm. And then you can say, God showed me that. You know he showed you that. You walked it out. It was already done when you were walking. When people said, that'll never happen. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. If you would understand what I'm trying to tell you, what you have in Jesus is more real than what you don't have in the physical realm. It's just more real. The spirit realm is more real. So if you have that mindset, listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying you won't be attacked. If the enemy's going to attack Jesus, he's going to attack you. But if you have the mindset, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, he's talking about the enemy in the world, and he's talking about God that's in you. If he's greater, in him we live, we move, we have our being. God's arm is not waxed short. If this is the God you're talking about, how can you stay sick? How can you stay depressed? How can you stay poor? Unless you just don't want to think about the way God thinks. So what happens is we are many times the way we think, according to the Word. Well, Brett, I'm always sick. You need to change the way you're thinking. Because you're thinking sick thoughts. I'm not saying you're bad. I'm just saying the enemy has duped you into seeing yourself. That's all you see yourself. I see myself sick. I see this. Break that in Jesus' name. Start seeing yourself. What do you want to see? What is God telling you? What's his spirit communicating to your spirit so you can be better than what you're seeing in the physical? Do you like what you see? If you don't like what you see, you are the one that changes it. God has given you the authority to take it and change it, and he wants you to picture what he pictures. If you don't do it, it don't change. It doesn't happen by osmosis. It's just not because you're nice. You have to take authority. He gave you that power. The enemy just doesn't lay down and roll over and goes, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. You got to stop thinking natural thoughts all the time. You got to get your mind geared towards supernatural. And there's a difference. You have to think, Brett, what is it? Okay, I will not be defeated. Will not. Why? Because I am the head, not the tail, according to the word. I am an overcomer, according to the word. Because everything has to go according to the word. Not because, well, you know, what is faith? What are you standing on? Well, because I gave. No, you're missing it. That's an action that is accompanying with your faith. I get that. Faith without works is dead. But the real faith is not in because you did it. Come on, the real faith is because the word said it. And the word said it, I did what the word said, and so because I did what the word said, and the word is always true, I rely not on myself, but on the truth of the word of God. And by his grace. You have the power of God living inside you. Now sometimes you pray for something, it doesn't always happen right away. And then the enemy starts his chatter. First it's, don't say anything. Don't do anything. Don't you pray. Don't you do that. You just stay here. No. Somebody else will take care of that. But God is giving you something inside. Something inside you says, you need to go pray for them. And if it doesn't happen right away, then the enemy starts his little game. Told you shouldn't have did that. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Wah, 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 wah. Charlie Brown's teacher. You have to understand that the word doesn't come back void. If God told me to pray, I'm good. If I'm praying for somebody, I can't believe for them. I can believe what God told me to do. They have to be accountable for what they're supposed to do. I'm okay with that. God told them to begin to possess the land. That means there's going to be a fight. We were just talking in prayer this morning. Do you know when they came out of the Red Sea, that was deliverance. Remember, Egypt was just nasty. Let's make bricks. No more hay. They did all kinds of things. It was terrible. And so finally they get delivered. The Red Sea parts. You remember that? Dry ground. They pass through and then the water swallows all the people that come after them. Deliverance. And they sing the song. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. They come to the Jordan River. The water parts and the Lord is telling them to go and possess the land. What's he doing? There's going to be conflict. You can be delivered, but when you start fighting, there's conflict. Enemy does not want you to fight, and he will see if you're serious. Many people will back away. God never backs away because God's never wrong. So you have to be able to possess the land. Go in there and say, this is what the Lord told me. Jesus spoke to the fig tree, remember? It died instantly, but the leaves didn't show up dead till the next day. Just because you can't see the results yet doesn't mean. Amy Cassie Frutiger got prayed for. She had a tumor in her stomach the size of a grapefruit probably or something. She looked bigger than that. She looked like she was pregnant. And she went to the doctor after doctor. And I thought, because I didn't know what was going on, she didn't publicly say, this is what I'm fighting, or this is what, you know. And she had to endure. She's been here. Pastor Amy's been here and spoken. If we get privileged enough, we may be able to have her back. Pastor Gary and Pastor Drinder, looking at their schedule still, and supposed to come, but they are going everywhere. But, you know, she believes she got into the, listen to what I'm telling you, she got into the Word of God and saturated herself with, you know what? That means she turned off Larry, Curly, and Moe and got into Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And she started just saying, okay, I'm going to saturate myself. What does God say about healing? And she would just think about it. And she would, you know what she's doing? Come on. She's changing her mindset. I need to get my mindset. And when she felt like she felt her spirit was already connecting, she went to her dad and said, Dad, I want you to pray. Because she'd been to the doctor. She'd done all that. So they prayed. Listen to me. Nothing happened. In the physical, couldn't see a thing, not a change, not a difference. But in her mind, in her connection with the Spirit, as far as she's concerned, by his stripes I was healed. I'm healed. For 2 weeks, she had to believe and confess and just kept her mind, nope, I'm not going back. I was healed on this night, this day, blah, blah, blah. You know, how many want to just tell the devil, it is written? You can just shut your mouth because on this day, according to the word of God, I've got my answer. I believe what he said. And 2 weeks, she went to bed one night, got up the next night, lost 9 inches in her waist, I think, 13 pounds, gone. Pictures were taken 8 hours apart. Tumor, no tumor. Back crooked, back straight. She got up in that morning, and her husband goes, Amy, your stomach. And it was like, once God healed it while she slept, it manifested then, but he healed it 2 weeks earlier. And her testimony, she has a book and everything about it. It's just amazing. What are you telling me? I'm telling you, you've got to change what you think in the natural and connect with the spiritual. Doesn't matter what you feel. This is a legal issue. When you get God involved with his word, it becomes jurisdiction and government. It's a legal issue. If I'm his, I am heirs to the promise. There's a process. Once your mind gets established, and that's the way you think in your heart, that's the way it is in your life. You're like, prove that to me. I can prove it to you right now. Look at yourself right now and say, well, this is where I am. Proof. Some of that's hard facts because Kim and I have to look at that too. We got to be like, I have to get my mind established on the word of God. I have to get my thinking established. Not just what I think, because that's not what's most important. God, what are you thinking? I have, according to the scripture we read, I have the mind of Christ. And so for me to get answers, I'm going to speak in the Spirit. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to, the things that I don't understand, God will reveal to me. And they don't always happen when I'm praying. They might happen while I'm out mowing the yard. I might all of a sudden get this idea. Where'd that come from? Download from God. It seems so simple, but it's not easy, is it? It's easier when we're in church. We can talk about it and go, I'm going to do that. We get out there, what was that again? Because then all of the other voices and all of that. We need to be in that place where we've renewed our minds so that what we see in our hearts is more real than what we see with our eyes. Do you understand what I'm saying? What we see in our spirit, what we see connected to God, our hearts, is more real than what we see with our eyes. It can be done. James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Brett, are you telling me I shouldn't go to a doctor? I'm not saying that. God uses doctors, I get it. But I am saying this. I think God should be first on your list, not the doctor. That's my personal opinion. I think they're doctors and they love God, and they're doctors that probably don't love God and don't serve him at all. I understand that. And there is a medical field, and I understand things in the body and all of those kind of things. But I do believe that God should be first on our list. And if God leads you to a doctor, then let God heal you through the doctor. If he wants you to take medicine, he created the medicine, then take the medicine. Does that make sense? I'm just saying put God first. That's all I'm saying. There are people they'll take that and they'll be like, I could never go to a doctor. Well, you know what? If God wants you to go to a doctor, just go to him first. God, what do you want me to do? Release the God in you and watch yourself get healed. You may be taking medication now you don't need to take. You could just authorize some stuff in your spirit and God would be like, you're done. It's healed. And you'd be like, sweet. Let me give you an example. I had a heart attack in 2020. And I was tormented by fear. And it kind of happened when I was doing yard work. I mean, I was out doing yard work. We lived in town then on the boulevard. Had a small yard, but I like to keep it really nice. And I remember being back, and I was cleaning up an area, and I was taking it to whatever that dump is that Marion has out there where you can take your leaves and stuff. And just, like, things just felt warbly. Like, I walked up on the deck, and kind of everything was, like, weird. I'd never felt it before. And I thought to myself, I should tell Kim. Nah, I'm good. And so I went out and did a little more, and that feeling came back again. And then I went up and rested, and I was talking to her in the kitchen, and she was talking about something, and I thought, this is no time for me to bring that up, because I, you know, it's just probably me being, you know, I don't know if I've eaten that morning or anything, and I don't know. So I went to take the stuff, and I dumped it, and I was on my way back. And then I knew something was going on, and it was wrong. And I got her on the phone and said, I'm closer to the hospital than I am to come home. I'm going to try to make it there. And she said, I will meet you there. So then I called the hospital when I got there, and they said, where are you? I said, I'm in your parking lot. And they rushed people out there and got me in. I said all that just to say, when I got back home, I was afraid to do any kind of yard work. I know that might sound stupid, but I was just like, I don't want to do it. I just don't, because I don't want to go through that again. And so things would just, you know, if you could have the angel and the devil, poof, poof, you can do yard work. You know, I mean, just all that stuff. And to make a long story short, I decided, God, I'm going to believe you. And I told fear to shut up. And so anytime I needed to do yard work, even my yard would barely need mowed, I'm like, I'm mowing it. And I'm telling you, when I'm pushing that mower, the enemy is throwing darts at me. You will die in this yard. They will find you laying in the grass, and blah, blah, blah. You right now, don't you feel your chest right now? Don't you feel that? Da, 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 da. And I'd have to just be shut up. And I'd start getting scripture, and I would say it out loud. I figure, heck, the mower's running. Who's going to? Anytime now, they think you got a Bluetooth in, so it's all good. So I just began to declare word as I'm mowing the entire yard. And the neighbor finally, the lady next door, she's like, I wish you quit mowing your yard so much. Your yard looks like a golf course. It makes us look terrible. Well, they didn't mow their yard a whole lot. And theirs looked like a hayfield a lot of times. And they're good people. I mean, it's just like, but they just didn't, you know what I mean? So my mindset was different than theirs. They were mowing because they had to. I was mowing because I will not be afraid. And so I explained to them, here's why you see me mowing. And they never questioned it again. They're like, oh. Mow on. So now I have a huge yard, but I mow it just like it was the one on the boulevard. Why? Because I will not give in to the enemy. I mean, I have days just like you all have days. I have things where the enemy tries to attack my body and it hurts, or it's this. But according to what I'm just reading to you, that's subject to the Word of God. And I have that authority. So yesterday, there's stuff I'm like, I didn't want to go down and do some things that I just got up and said, I will, I'm doing it. And I, you know, she's like, probably, where'd he go? I was clear down front by the road. I was taking care of stuff because I will not give in to fear. I will not be defeated by the enemy. Because as far as God is concerned, I am healed. And I believe that. Many of us, as soon as we get a pain, and I've been guilty of this myself, so please hear me, we see ourselves sick. We have to retrain our mind. I said last week, if the doctor says, I give you 6 months, you already start in your mind, well, who's going to come to my funeral? What songs will I play? Quit thinking like that. Start believing. God, this is what I see. I'm going to have a long and fruitful life. You might say, Brett, I think you're weird. I think you're weird. With Jesus on the inside, we don't have to be afraid of every single thing that happens. We don't have to live our life in, oh my gosh, oh. I'm not saying that you'll be free from tribulation. The Bible says we'll have it. But we can live in victory. We can live in authority. We can live in peace. God has already won the battle. Listen, the devil can't do anything to you without your consent and cooperation. And I'm not going to give him any word to go ahead and do it. See what I'm saying with your heart. Make up your mind to change to God's way of thinking. Don't live with sickness, with poverty and lack, depression, anxiety, worry, strife. I don't want to limp along in my life because I keep thinking, oh, this is out of my control. There's some things that are out of your control, but what you can control is you, the authority that God gave you, and the reach that has. You don't have to give up your peace. You choose to give it up. Don't give it up. In Him we live, we move. God's not up in heaven going, oh, I didn't expect that to happen. He's not doing that. If I'm more than a conqueror, if whatever you're going through, you have whatever it takes to get on the other side of it, or you wouldn't be going through it, because God is in you. You can make it. Don't amplify the problem. How about the solution? Jesus is bigger than any problem we ever have. What the Lord has done for you is so amazingly greater than what anyone else has ever done to you. I'm going to say that one more time. What the Lord has done for you is so big compared to what anybody else has ever done to you. Brett, you don't know my life. I might not know your life, but I do know God, and He's bigger than anything that's happened to you. I'm not saying it's not a big deal. I'm just saying Jesus is a bigger deal. Is it going to be easy? Probably not, but Jesus is a bigger deal. If He's already given you the grace and the ability and the authority to walk it out, then get out of it and start walking. Even if it's baby steps, at least it's a step in the right direction. Well, Brett, it didn't all happen. It didn't all go away right away. Okay, I get it. I understand that. But keep going. Do not quit. See yourself with your heart, what your future is. Your future is so bright, you got to squint to look at it. God has already done it. The issue is for us as believers, we don't know how to receive it and then believe it. Maybe that's the other way. Believe it, then you can receive it. I don't know. You don't have to beg God because He's already done it. People will tell me, I pray, but I don't hear anything. He won't say anything. Why is that? Because He's already done it. But He's always speaking. You need to understand, He's saying it. You're not listening. Let me say this. Pretend this is a radio, okay? And God is talking through His word. You have to simply get your thinking. It's in there because God connected your spirit. Tune in to His frequency. If you get on the Word, then you'll know what He's saying. He's always, people, this is what we, because in our way of thinking, we have to hear something in the natural realm. He has to come down and talk to me audibly. Do you really want that? Because I think some of you would be major poopy pants. I know. I can't believe I just used that illustration. But I don't think we're ready for a lot of stuff. God knows what you'll be able to take, but half the time you'll be like, okay, then I need something every time. And Jesus is saying, just believe what I've said. Will you believe what I've said? And act on what I've already told you. He's always speaking. We're just not listening. You're trying to hear with your physical ears, but you need to listen with your spiritual ears. Your heart. Why would He tell you something new when you won't believe what He's already told you before? You read something and you know it jumps out in your spirit and you're like, oh, I need a new word. Why don't you do the one that He gave you? There's people that will just try to, Brett, give me a word. I just need a word. And I give them one to come back. No, I don't want that one. I want another one. Let me just say, this isn't let's make a deal. This is the price is right. Jesus already paid the price. It's right. You can't deal with that. He dealt with it. You got no business. Let me just make a deal. Me and Jesus have a good thing. You need to grow up. Jesus already paid the price for your salvation and your healing and your prosperity. Just listen to him and do what he says. Some of you are saying amen. Others are going, oh me. Let me tell you, and I'm about finished here. We're now exploring our building phases and projects that we are going to be doing here at True Life. And as soon as we can get all this stuff happening and figure it out, we've already signed an agreement with the architect. And we're going to get renderings. And we're going to, you know, what's going to be our first phase. And we're going to pay off our old mortgage. We're going to believe for that. I'm going to put that in there. How many knows that's an amen? We had two mortgages when we bought this place, just so you know. We owed the Moose just under $100,000. That's paid for. And we have another mortgage that we owe the bank. And right now that's around $400,000. We'll pay that off. We'll believe God for that. And then we're going to get a new entryway. And we're going to redo Kidstown. And we're going to do the parking lot. We're going to redo the courtyard. We're going to expand. If we can, we want to expand out there and just give a whole other dimension for Kidstown with places for the youth. So that, you know, the facility is amazing. And then we have a cafe and foyer entryway that's just like, oh, this is a sweet. But how are we going to do it? We're going to do it the way God wants us to do it. We're going to do this by doing it together. It's exciting. We're going to put that stuff on the vision wall out there where you see the television and that board. We're going to have renderings out there on that vision wall. We'll probably have some other things out there, maybe some history of the church and how things happen. Maybe we'll put a video out there. I don't know. Whatever the Lord says, that's what we'll do. But you need to start seeing things with your heart. Well, Brett, I don't know how we're ever going to do that. Well, listen to what I'm saying. Do we want to reach people for the kingdom of God? Do we want to say, you know, and get people besides? And everybody is important. But God wants to reach more than just what you see here today. And we have to start inviting. We have to start going to the highways and the byways. I'm going to, you know, I told the dream team today, I'm going to show you, I'm going to make it as simple as I can, how the kingdom works. And I'll give you steps that you'll be able to duplicate. Does that make sense? You could, if, you know, you'll be able to go, I could do that. People ask me all the time, how did that happen? How did you get that? I'm going to show you, because anybody that does the laws of the kingdom, they work. But this all comes down to your heart, what you see in your spirit, and reasons. If we're just building to do things to say, look at us, we're just building, yep, I don't want to build, if that's our only reason. But if our reason is because we are reaching people for Christ and we're creating places for them to come and find the kingdom of God, get saved, get delivered, get healed, find out who they are in Christ and begin to stomp on the enemy's face, I'll do that all day long. But we got to do it together. I'm going to do my part. Kim and I will lead the way. We'll do everything we can to do whatever the Lord tells us. But this is what he's telling me. Stretch those things. Stretch those cords. Expand those stakes. Write the vision and make it plain. We'll put things in front of you to say, oh, my word. Because you'll say, how are we going to do that? We'll do it with God. Because if we can do it with just us, we don't need, you know what I mean? But he's got plans. How do we walk in victory? We make God so complicated, and I think he's really more simple. I don't think he's trying to hide things from you. If I could show you, like, this is what we did. This is how I did this. This is how this law works. Because when this comes down to, it comes down to allegiance. Not to me. To him. Now, before we ever start, we're looking at now, how do we start a capital campaign? How do we do all that? I don't know. I've never done one. I've been involved in them, but I've never done one. But if, just so that you know, I'm not doing this just to gather funds. And if you think that, then don't give anything. Because we love you. I'm not here to try to pick your pocket. I'm here because this is allegiance. This is what he's told me. It's not comfortable for me. But oh, how good it is to serve him. How good it is to see God do the things he does. Because everything we have is God's, isn't it? It's pretty amazing to me what we have in this group of people. Amazing vessels of God. You guys have already proven your hearts. This is just going to be an exciting adventure. But we will have testimonies that will show how good he is. We're going to be getting things up so that we can record those testimonies, whether they be audibly or videoed. I'll get them. I'll get there. I'm just saying, if God can use me, I'm so good with words, right? He can use anybody. So we just allow him to do it. I mean, there's times that, you know, God told us we were doing things and we raised money. And there are people I'm sure gave way, way more than we did, but this was the amount he told us to give. And this is what we did. And we saw blessing after blessing. We have to change our mindset because people automatically think we're trying to buy God. You cannot buy God. I'll help you with that. I mean, just to try to show you what the word says. So I'm not, that's a whole nother message. But to work this thing out, to walk it out, you have to start seeing things with your heart. God, what do you want me to do? I get the privilege to share the kingdom of God with as many people as he gives me in front of my path. We had a core meeting last week. The guy that brought the pizza, here's the card. Come to church. I don't see him here today, but he says he's going to come and see me. Whether he does, that's up to him. But boy, the invite's there. One of these times, he's going to go through things just like you and I go through things, and he's going to be, I need to go somewhere. Who's that one preacher guy that invited me to church? He's going to show up here. And there'll be a presence of God here. And he'll give his heart to the Lord. How many people will that affect? Think about how many kids, grandkids, who knows? They'll find Jesus because people like you and people like me say yes. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?